of you expected God to do great things in 2002? Say, I am.
I am.
Well, what are you expecting to do in 2002? When do you expect, amen, when do you expect to God to do what he wants to do for you in 2002? How many expect God to do exactly what he did last year? Woo, God's going to do exactly what he did last year, and I'm just going to be happy about that. How many want God to do exactly what he did last year? Well, how many of you are doing exactly what you did last year? What did you do differently this morning than what you would do any Sunday morning last year? We all expect God to do great things and to change everything, but we're so unwilling to change anything. Change comes from repentance, and repentance comes from a change of your mindset. And I tell you what, you can give up your hopes and dreams to have anything wonderful this year, any change this year, unless you've changed your actions. You can talk all you want to, but it's already day six of 2002, and if you haven't changed one thing about yourself, don't expect much change this year. You can probably expect to get exactly what you got last year. But if you believe God wants to do something different, you got to start to figure out what you're going to do different this year, what you're going to add in, what you're going to take out. Don't expect any change unless you're willing to change yourself. I'm just going to save you some time and some energy. So at least you can say, this year I'm going to have I'm going to rest my mind about worrying about anything big to happen in my life, you know. I'm not going to stress myself. But if you want God to do something big for you, something that he didn't do last year, glory to God, you change something right away. Amen. You can jump right on it. Listen, did the sky crack open last year and the angels fell out and gave you a blessing? Did that happen to anybody? Absolutely not. But when things started to change for you last year, it's when you made up in your mind you're going to agree with God, and you start to change a little bit of your actions, and God mixed a little bit of his stuff with your stuff. If God's going to do anything for you this year, he's going to do it by faith. And faith comes by hearing the word, and then all of a sudden you got to apply some action to what you hear and bring about a change. The more change you want in your life, the more of your actions and the more of your mindset you want to change. I was thinking this week, and I was praying and getting into some things, and I think, what is life all about? So what if we get all the Tonka toys? Some people think, you know, he who wins with the most toys at the end wins, you know. The one that gets the most toys at the end wins. Some people think that way. If I get the bronze casket, I beat the one that has the wood box. Some say we all turn into the same dirt. I want to talk to you just for a little bit this morning about life. Hopefully it will bring some sort of conviction to us and to get out of this thing with great reward. First of all, I want you to know I'm a fanatic about this. And I believe every single last word of it. Yeah. Write this down. Lifestyles that would make God repent. Somebody said, now he's really getting out there. Lifestyles that would make God repent. Do you know there are some things that make even God repent? And I'm going to show you to that. I'm going to show you that this morning. What are we living for? What is life all about? We are living, whether you realize it or not, you can think all the things you want to think, but according to the Word of God, when we put things up against the Word of God, we are living in days that would cause God himself to repent. I want you to know this. First of all, God cares about creation. And it's very dear to his heart. I want to give you some point of reference. Go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. God believes in change. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's not afraid to change some things. And so many of us are we want to hold our stuff so tightly together. We want to resist the plan of God. We want to resist the best from God. But we'll find out that we can be just like our Father. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, what area is God going to move on in your life? The area that you're willing to change? He's not going to jump on stuff that's just been sitting there. If he would have done that, he would have done it last year. And the Lord God said, behold, man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, let he put forth his hand and take of also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from hence he was taken. Busy work. People that aren't going to be able to grab a hold of what life really is, you know, they get cursed with busy work. Working the ground, selling corn, beans, and all these things. You know, everything, busy work, any part of busy work, you know, is just basically for survival. They have to eat of the ground to survive. So, you know, the difference between living for God and the tree of life and what God wants us to have, living with a purpose versus living just to stay alive. Eat the green stuff, process the green stuff, live another day. So they were cursed to live day by day from the ground. Some say all they got to think about is just basically hanging out and existing. There are so many people that live like that. Every day they're thinking, if I can just make it today, you know, I'm not just, some of them say, make it well today. If I can eat real big today, everything will be all right. You know what that is? That's a curse. People that live life without a purpose and without a meaning. You're going to find out that so many people are living with no reason, no mission on their life whatsoever. What are you trying to accomplish with your life? The extra bedroom on the side, and everybody pass, I got the biggest house on the block. Some say, till that ground to build that house. And the house that we build comes right from what? Right from the ground. Some say, the curse. Therefore God sent them forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Him he drove out the man and placed him east of the Garden of Eden and set cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Some people think that life is all about, if I can just find somebody and marry him, we can have a little child. That's life. The child that they bore was just as dead as they were. We got some little dreams. People get little dreams, little piece of the pie. You know, that's why we got so many miserable people, because we feed them this line of rubbish. You know, that you grow up and you do just like everybody else. One day you'll have, you know, you just grow up. You get two little kids just like you. And that's what life is all about. You raise them up. You live without purpose. As long as you get them, raise them up to be big so they can live without purpose, everything is okay. You run off and go to college. You can get to be a lawyer. You can be the lawyer. You can be a doctor. I don't have anything about anything against being a lawyer or a doctor, but I do have a problem with people raising people to live without purpose and without significance. Notice that after they had the child, they were still what? In death. So we got to realize that, first of all, procreate, you know, there's something about life that's just carnality, you know, and it's a good thing, amen. But it had nothing to do, amen, with purpose. And many people think it's just as long. Some people, I've found people, even teenagers that run off and get pregnant. You know, there are teenagers that run off and get pregnant on purpose because they're miserable with their life. And they think, if I can just have something else or somebody else to care for, everything will be all right. Husbands and wives can't get along because they don't have any purpose. They think, if we just had this little baby, everything, we'd have a reason. Here was a child born, amen, to people with no purpose. To people that were cursed just to live day by day. They just want somebody else to live and till that ground with them. Everybody say life. Life. Say it again, life. Life. Life means maintenance to some people. Write that down. Maintenance, what you maintain or what you run to. When God kept them from the tree of life, he took them away from running with passion. All they had, the only thing they could run to, amen, they couldn't run to God. The only thing they could run to, run to work, run to till that ground. No purpose. Turn to Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. Why am I teaching this? Because I want you to have life this year, life more abundantly. And I want you to feel good about having life with a purpose. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were fair, and they took them wives, all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive, somebody say strive, with men. Why was he striving with men? Because they were men without a purpose, men without a call. They were just going about, you find this one, you hook up, and we'll just Make more of us. Some say breeding and multiplying. Roaches breed and multiply. God wants to get more out of us. You know, rabbits breed and multiply. So what's the difference between man and some wild animal out there in the field? The difference is the purpose of God on their life. So we notice that these people, unconverted and undone all these things, they were going about life. I'll find somebody. I'll go put it together. Someone say, we'll just get bigger. We'll just have more of us. Someone say, I will not always strive with men. We're going to learn something today. We're going to learn something about life. We're going to learn how people flow like this. You're going to learn to discern people. How to discern people that don't have purpose in their life. And one of the fruits of people that don't have purpose in their life. That you would also know what kind of day it is. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Isn't that sad? I believe it just grieves the heart of God to see people living. Why does life get so short for some people? Amen. Because it just grieves the heart of God. Say, how long do he have to go wandering around with no purpose? What a curse. You know, that's almost like hell on earth. You know, hell on earth, those people don't have anything to do but burn all day, burn all night. Nothing going to change. Not going to produce anything. Nothing good going to come out of it. Amen. So all they were basically doing is fulfilling their own selfish desires, their own lusts. They had no heart for God, no mindset for God. They didn't even know what they were created to do. God said, my spirit shall not always strive with men forever. There were giants in the earth those days. Also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare them children to them, and same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness. Oh, we don't want to hear that word on Sunday morning. We don't want to hear that word. The wickedness of man was great in the earth. And somebody say imagination. Not just your deeds, but literally your imagination. People were thinking all kind of crazy stuff. They didn't have a renewed mind, so their minds were just messed up. Imagination represents your future. Because you visualize what you're going to be living and what you're going to take a part of. So God, not only was God looking at what was right then and there, but he was looking at their imagination and looking at their mindset, what they were focusing on, and what was to come. So God said, it's all messed up right now. Let me see where their mind is. There are some people you can look at, they can have a messed up life. They can be messed up, completely destroyed, and screwed up. But you can go to that person and get them out of that mess, but you better look at where their mind's at, because if their mind's messed up, amen, guess what? They'll go right back. That's why when Jesus ministered to people and he went to them, he also ministered to them and he healed them. But before he healed them, he checked out where their head was. Where was their faith? Where was their heart? Where was their mind? Because they'll spin right back around and go right back there again. So not only were they mean and evil, but also their imagination was messed up. Their thought life was twisted. I want to tell you this morning, not only does God want to bring you out from where you are, but he also wants to evaluate your thought life. Somebody say, where is your head? Is it stuck in the ground? You know, like a bunch of, what are those birds? Those ostriches, you know? They ostriches can go stick their head in a hole someplace. Somebody say, a head buried in the sand. God wants to pull your head out of the sand this morning. He wants to pull my head out of the sand this morning. Amen? So wickedness and the imagination of and thoughts of their heart were evil. Somebody say evil continually. Some people said, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. You ever heard that song? You know, I can't get you off my mind. Well, you know, there's more people that can't get messed up thinking off their head. Maybe if there's a Christian commercial on TV, they see Jesus' face, they'll think about him a couple minutes, and they go right on back. Somebody say, I can't get you off my mind. Sinning, sweet sinning, all day long. Just can't get it off your mind. Mindset grieves the heart of God. Why do you think God is always talking to us and trying to get us to renew our mind? To renew our mind. Because the mindset of mankind screams to God. And when Jesus comes, he'll come as a result of a mindset, an unconverted mindset. You're going to find this out. You're going to find this out. Now listen right here. And it repented. Somebody say, it repented. There it is. So somebody thought I was really crazy. Why, lifestyles that would make God repent. It said that this mindset and this nature caused what? Look at your Bibles. What it said. And it repented who? Who did it repent? The Lord said, listen, if they're not going to change, I tell you what, I'm going to change something. Something going to give here. I'm so glad that trouble doesn't last always. We got stuff going on in our life. There's an end to all evil things. I tell you straight up. People said all good things must come to an end. I'm here to tell you this morning, all evil things must come to an end, according to God. That stuff that you got in your life, somebody say, it's better for you to handle it now than have God handle it later. Amen. Somebody say, somebody. Somebody's going to repent. And you're going to find out that the end of this age, when Jesus comes again, I tell you what, it's the same mindset. It's the same heart that allows him to come back again. He's going to come back again and scoop out those that need to be scooped out. Amen. And change some things around here. Amen. Somebody say, make a change. This is the mindset that causes God to repent. And we're going to find it. Somebody say, that's the Old Testament. We're going to find it again in the New Testament. That's what it's all about. Somebody say, we're right back here again. And it repented God. Let me tell you what mindset. Why would God want to repent? Because it's not right. When God created the earth, behold, it was good. Amen. He had a plan about it. And all of a sudden, the devil got in there and messed some things up. Do you think he's going to have a messed up picture hanging in his hands forever? He's going to put it back the way it needs to be. He's going to change it. The devil's not in control. God is. And there's a day coming when God's going to put the broken pieces back together again. Amen. Wickedness will not always stand. God owns everything. He owns you. He owns me. He owns the whole earth. He owns the whole world. And the devil doesn't. And whatever's wrong, there's coming a day when the mindset of God said, I'm going to put it right. There'll be no evil. There'll be no death. There'll be no persecution. There'll be no people taking advantage of people. There'll be no people ripping people off, robbing people, murdering people, killing people, gossiping about people. Somebody say, God's going to change some things. Trouble won't last always. There's a better day coming. The Lord is coming, and he's going to fix everything. There's coming a day when every mindset will be after God. There'll be nothing to trouble him anymore. I tell you what. See, God's got some stuff that he's dealing with. You find that out here in Scripture. Made me feel good. I said, Lord, I'm just trying to pastor a church. Look at you with this whole world you're dealing with. Amen. The Bible teaches us this. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every mindset that won't let Lord Jesus Christ be Lord of their life. Well, I choose not to have God. There'll be a day you will. And you'll say, you'll find out who's the boss. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made him. But Noah found grace. Some people don't really realize that the only reason why God's not moving with the previous verse because somebody somewhere found some grace. Didn't say man found grace. It said who found grace? Noah found grace. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah, if God could find just a couple hanging out there someplace, amen, he'd spare the whole city. People want to run down righteous people, talk about righteous people, gossip about righteous people, and you don't even know. There could be that one righteous man in town, amen, that keeps God from destroying everybody. Some say, Noah found grace. I tell you what, the only reason why the earth is not a greasy spot is because there's a church in it. Some say, the church finds grace. Amen. Somewhere there's an intercessor, someplace that God keeps his power back. Amen. Why? Because as long as there's someone with grace on it, there's a little bit of hope someplace. God's going to use them. Amen. So we notice that God had mindset to destroy all evil and all wickedness, period, point blank. God is a good God. That's why he wants a good earth. But far be it from the Lord to have that. Far be it from the Lord to have evil and wickedness, something that he created with his name on it, going around acting all crazy. Tell you straight up, they used to tell me something, and people say, you know God don't like ugly. You know it's the truth. Amen. When we get down to the bottom of the line, amen, there are certain things. When you get past all this, you know, fluffy stuff that we deal with right now. The bottom line is God doesn't like ugly. He just doesn't like wrong. Amen. And God's coming to judge in righteousness. But Noah found grace. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. See, God was ready to wipe out the whole earth, but he found one man that was ready to be used. But I tell you what, God was ready to work some things out and work some things over, but somewhere there was a man ready to be used. And I tell you what, the only reason why Jesus has not come yet and taken care of a lot of this stuff, because somewhere there's somebody ready to be used. Why do you think we're sitting up here talking about, let's get ready. Let's get busy about what the Lord wants. Let's get ready, amen. Let's get ready for use. Let me tell you what, you can't just till the ground forever. So say that job description, and say that's a temporary job. You're not hired. That's a temporary job. Anybody went to those temporary agencies where you go work there? You might be there for 7 weeks or 7 months, amen, but it's a temporary agency. As soon as that contract is up, your butt's out. And there are a bunch of people that think this thing going to roll on like this forever. I mean, that's a temporary thing. And man's been working the ground, living off the ground, raping it from everything it's got from that day forward. Pull all the gas up out of the ground. Pull all the oil up out of the ground. Grow that corn. Figure out how we can get bigger corn. Come on, work it over, work it over, work it over. Just exist on the earth. It's not God's plan. First of all, the earth can't even sustain it. They've proven that scientifically. Obviously, God wasn't stupid when he did it. It was only a temporary plan. People thinking, conservation, we're going to wear it out. No, you won't have time to wear it out. They're going to use up everything in the earth. No, by the time you get there, it'll be over. Amen. Lifestyles that will cause God to repent. To me, it looked like a recall. Better not go there. That's what this salvation Christianity thing is all about. It looks like a recall. He calls them back in, gives them a new life, gives them a new nature, gives them a new heart. Some say the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Some say the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And the Lord said, the end of all flesh is come. The end of all flesh is come. Praise the Lord. The end of all flesh is come. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that God won't strive with man forever. Praise the Lord. You don't have to deal with that flesh stuff too much longer. The end of all flesh is come. Just like it's come back then, it's coming today. Amen. For the earth was filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them. With what? I will destroy them with the earth. That thing they were working with is what he's going to use to destroy them. Violence was all over the place. And that word violence, just not people punching each other in the face and knocking each other on the head with clubs and sticks and bats. When I study that word violence, it means they were taking advantage of each other, raping each other, ripping each other off, using each other, gossiping about each other. Somebody say violence. You know when people get in the flesh. When people get in the flesh, they get violent. He said, make thee an ark. He said, listen, I'm going to get you out of this mess. These people are a trip. They will eat you alive. I mean, we went and filled one of the fish tanks at the church here, and we went to get some fish. And we had to be careful what fish we put with other fish, because some fish you put in the tank, they would destroy the other fish. They'd just eat them alive. Well, that's the way it is on the earth today. God's not going to put you around people that will eat you alive. The Bible even says when you talk and gossip and run each other down, don't you know you devour one another? Somebody say Christian cannibals. Communion. Somebody say communion, communion, communion. The Lord's Supper, the Lord's Supper. Everybody want to take the Lord's Supper and do all this other stuff, you know? Well, listen, what you need the Lord's Supper for? Most of you are full from what you ate before you got to church. Hallelujah. Had a piece of Sister Know-It-All, piece of... Some say cannibalism. Eat and devour one another up. So not me. Think about the last person you ran your mouth about. Amen. It was served on a silver platter. Amen. When people don't walk with God, they strive with God and his ministers. The Bible says, listen, the problem was is that those people weren't able to walk with God. God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. God's going in one flow and in one direction. The moment that they went the other direction with the devil, they were in opposition to God and everything that God wanted. Notice that Moses, that no one was different than all these people, said he walked with God. And all the other ones must have been walking against God. And when people walk against God, I don't care who you are, you're not going to be able to agree. You're going to have some problems. That's why God said you can't walk and live in the world and do all this other stuff. You got to be singly focused. If people don't have God first in their life, sooner or later you're going to run into some problems. I don't care how strong, I don't care how many times they come to church. If they haven't made in their mind they're going to follow Jesus with everything they got, you're going to have some problems. And whenever you got problems, whenever you see people eating each other up, devouring one another, all this strife and all this other stuff, guess what? Somebody's not walking totally with God. I figured some things out. I said, why are we, we've only gone these things. All of a sudden, kick here, broke there. You know, it's just so difficult. People get mad. You don't know why. Striving. In the ministry, you get different things. You know, in the ministry, about 70, I'd say about what, 40 to 30% of my job, amen, is striving to keep people on the track with God and keep people in pace with God and let stuff go and get on with it. There's a day coming when you're not going to strive for people. Come on over here. God, he's going to clean the thing up. Everybody's going to be wanting to walk with God full heart. Strive. That means plead. Break that word striving down. It means plead. Please come to church. Please help us. Please don't fight one another. Please pay your tithes. Please hang on in there. Please pray. Come on now. Ooh, I want to pastor one of them churches where you don't have to strive. Striving is a big deal with God. Listen, God will not always strive. The way it is today, it won't always be. See, God don't like stiff-necked, rebellious mess. Even his own people, they were in the wilderness. What was it, a 7-day or 4-day journey? Took them 40 years to get across the journey. Why? Everybody, come on, stiff-necked people. God will not always strive with us. It says, my spirit will not always strive with man. This labor, this battle, this struggle, this journey. I tell you what, see, we are not to suffer in the earth from the hand of the devil. But we are called to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. I'm called to strive with you and to strive with the world to try to get them to walk for Jesus, to love God and to do the right thing. At times it causes you to get mad with me and I to get mad with you. Amen. Something, there's a work, there's a fight of faith. And I thank God when we get to glory, I'm not just going to be shouting because I ran from the devil. I've been delivered from the devil years ago. Amen. He's not my problem. Hallelujah. I've been delivered from sickness and disease and hell. Amen. I'm not just shouting about that. I'm going to be shouting about when Jesus comes. My spirit shall not always strive with men, and neither will yours. Some of you can't shout for that because you ain't striving about nothing. Amen. You're only striving. But when you're doing what God wants you to do, you're praying, you're believing God, you're serving God, you're getting up, amen, doing what God wants you to do, almost to where you feel it in your body, crying for people in prayer. I'm talking about striving. When you're serious about God and you know what God wants, it'll cause you to do something. It'll cause you to give up a little bit of yourself to help somebody else. It'll cause you to love people. And as you love them a little bit, they stab you in the back. Amen. But you got to pick them up again. But we strive in the Holy Ghost meetings. We strive in the Wednesday night services. We strive Sunday morning. Amen. We strive Sunday night. We strive to preach the gospel and tell somebody to come. Striving. Striving. Say, my spirit shall not always strive with men. Amen. There's a day to preach the gospel. There's a day to heal the sick. There's a day, and now is the time to do it. Amen. Amen. Whether you realize it or not, God's spirit is striving to reach the hearts of men. Amen. And if you got the Holy Ghost within you, there's something about God on the inside of you would cause you to do something. I want you to look at that word in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. That word means injustice, damage, unrighteousness, oppression, wrong. It means unjust gain.
Those are things that ticked God off, that brought the flood on. Isn't that a trip? How much of that do we see today? People, wars are created because of those reasons. Some violence covered the earth. Today, if you want to make money, you got to kick somebody in the head. It's coming. Somebody say, it's like that. That's the way it is. That's violent. Somebody say, it won't last forever. You just look at the news and look at stuff and say, wrong. That, you know, that is so wrong. And some of us can't even say that anymore. It's all right to say, somebody say, just wrong. When you see wrong throughout the earth, some people profiting off of wrong. God, that's one of the reasons why Jesus is coming, to right the wrong and fix it. God cares. God cares about creation. He cares about everybody on this planet. All throughout the world, God understands, he sees, and he knows, and he will fix all, every single form of unrighteousness. He'll right every wrong. Amen. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. He is a Savior and a Deliverer. He is Jesus. And that Messiah that they were expecting to come back in the New Testament was Jesus. This second time he come, he going to manifest that characteristic. Amen. The Jews knew what they were looking for. They were looking for someone that would fix violence. The Jews were being oppressed. They were being ripped off and worked and done all this other stuff. They were looking for somebody to help them get over the wrong that was done to them. But Jesus came and he was a deliverer, but he said, listen, I'm not going to be dealing with what was done to you first. I'm going to deal with what you did to others. Amen. What you do to me, before God will deal with your enemies, he'll deal with you. Amen. He said, I'll get to them, but before I get to them, let me work with you a little bit. Judgment begins in the house of God. Why does violence and oppression, violence and injustice grieve the heart of God? Now, you see in this here in Scripture that it grieved the heart of God because he saw violence and oppression and injustice. Why does that grieve the heart of God? It was that stuff that caused God to repent from making man on the face of the earth. He's ready to shut it all down because he saw all that stuff. When you see hunger, starvation, government shooting people down, when you see things that are just wrong, people are dying throughout the whole world on all kinds of causes. We just flip the channel if it doesn't affect us. We don't read the article. You would not believe the wrong that's being done over the earth right now, and the oppression and the stuff that's happened throughout the world because people want to live in the flesh and somebody wants to get stuff. Amen. Because it opposes the will of God for the earth. Injustice opposes the will of God on the earth. When God created the earth, it was good. Who created? Did you make the earth? No. Did it just happen by some cosmic boom? No. God started it. For he says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. He means I was here before everybody got here, and I'll be here after everybody's gone. The author has authority. Know that word authority? What's the beginning of the word authority? Author. The author has ultimate authority. If man was here first, they could call the shot, but God was the one that called all things into existence. Amen. He made it, and he's the one that's able to say how it should go. It's his house. If he don't want injustice and all that wrong stuff in it, he can change it if he wants to. God's going to put it back the way that it needs to be. Woo! Violence is the result of people that are dominated by the flesh. All these things that you see around the world, whenever wrong is being done, whenever anything happens that's contrary to the will of God, God says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Anywhere in the world where you see people not experiencing life more abundantly, where you see death, destruction, and stealing, and all that kind of stuff, wherever you see that stuff, in every area you see that stuff, it's the result of somebody. Here's the result of it right here. Violence is the result of people that are dominated by the flesh. Somewhere, somebody is a big flesh. The end of all flesh is near. The end of all flesh is near. The end of all flesh is near. God will deal with it. He's going to judge it from the top to the bottom. Every nation, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Nobody going to get away with anything. Doesn't have anything to do with my political party, my nationality. The end of all flesh, and God knows what's flesh and what's spirit. He's able to discern between soul and spirit. The end of all flesh is near. He's going to take care of every little bitty piece of it. He's going to fix everything. He ain't going to forget nothing. He's accurate. Let's close it out right here. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Somebody say, we're going to take you to the New Testament and close this out. Matthew chapter 24. This is what you can do. Listen, God will always give you a couple witnesses. Noah's story was a witness to you. Noah's story was a witness to you. Sodom and Gomorrah was a witness to you. And here's what Jesus said about today. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be troubled not, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. Doesn't it sound like today? Turn on the news. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be families and famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Isn't that today? All these are the beginnings of what? Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be what? Oh, everybody going to get along, aren't they? Just a little bit. A couple of them. Don't worry about a couple of them getting mad. Amen. What does it say? Everybody circle that real quick. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 10. Many shall be what? And what should they do when they get offended? That's today. So don't get surprised when that happens. People don't get offended. And when people get offended, they just don't stop with offense. They start to talk about people and betray each other. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And he that shall endure for a little bit. He that says a sinner's prayer 20 years ago and then forgot about it, I'm eternally secure. What does the Bible say? He that shall do what? Endure. If you don't have endurance, you won't be saved. Period, point blank. If you can't hang in there, amen, you just can't hang. Amen. You got to get in this thing and stay in this thing. Do you hear what I'm saying? There have been a lot of people that said a sinner's prayer living for the devil today. You got to endure. The Bible says he that endures, not just a little bit, to the end. Some of us can't endure a week. Some of us can't endure 15 minutes extra in the church service. You got to learn something about endurance, how to hold on. You got to endure ministry. You got to endure prayer. You got to keep faithful, keep consistent in what God told you to do. The Bible says he that endures to the end will be saved. It's not he that starts that wins. It's he that finishes the race. Race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but to he that endures to the end. You got to make up your mind, I'm going to be there to the end. If I can just keep standing, I win. You got to understand this Christian race is all about this. The last man standing wins. Notice it said you can't just run to Jesus. He's going to come to you. You just stand there and wait. Find out what God told you to do with your life, and you stand there and wait. He'll come and pick you up. You can't run to heaven. You don't know how to get there. You just get down there in that battle he puts you in and endure. Amen. You got to get in the thing God told you to do and get there and fight on and endure until Jesus comes. He'll pick you up, and I'm going to show you that in the Word. When those angels go out to seek you in that day, it'll be a moment of twinkle of an eye. Amen. But they're going to seek you where God told you to be. You want to see an end to all injustice? Fund the church. people choose their saviors in many different ways. Amen. When Jesus was there, they got a chance to choose Jesus or Barabbas. And Barabbas' name was actually Jesus too. They said, what savior do you want? And they were going to choose the one with the, they choose the one that knew how to kill people, the murderer, because he could get something done. So they chose him and they left the anointing beside it. What would happen if Christians got excited about Jesus? What would happen if Christians got excited about Jesus or as indignant as about the devil as they did about Osama bin Laden? My gosh, something would happen. How many people flooded checks to different things to go get that war together? Amen. What would happen if they start to front the church that way? Amen. Jesus Christ's blood, his resurrections can't bring us together. Amen. But you let somebody act up, we can come together and band together around that. Amen. Said this gospel must be preached and then the end shall come. I'm going to preach the gospel and that's going to put an end to all that mess. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of in Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, who readeth, let him understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountain. Somebody say Judea. Flee to the mountains. Now I'm going to get this over with, but you're going to be blessed because I got a revelation on these things right here. I've never understood it. And as I was studying this, the Lord showed me and revealed what some of these things were insight-wise. Amen. Listen, this Judea, flee to the mountains. Amen. Somebody say Zion is calling us to a higher place of praise. Judah represents the praise and the worship. And God said, come up to a higher place. That means when you start to see these things go around to the world, those you worshipers and praisers go up to the next level. Amen. When you start to see things like this happening in the world, and all the wars and all the devastation, all the violence, it says, Jesus said, listen, those that be in Judea, if you're already in the place of prayer, if you're already in the place of praise, come up to a higher level. Take it up to the next level. We heard that by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost 2 years ago, before September 11th. He said, come up higher, come up higher. God is calling us to a higher place of praise. Come up and worship. This is what the Bible is telling us right now. When you see these things happen, let those that be in Judea. You are in Judea. You are already in the house of God. Up the ante. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord shall raise a standard up against him. So go up higher. Don't cut back in your worship and praise. Go up to the next levels. The end draweth near. Now God's giving you instruction how to handle it. Let him that be on the housetop not go down and take anything out of the house. Listen, when people were flooded, they couldn't get anything with them. If they would have went back and get anything out of that house, they would have been dead. You got to leave that stuff, amen, and get on the house. If you're on the housetop waiting for Jesus, don't go back inside and try to save stuff. You don't need it. If you've left stuff in that house that you put together, that all those works of your own hand, if it's still in the house, leave it there. Don't go back. See, some of you have made up in your mind, I'm going to follow Jesus with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind. You're on the housetop. You're waiting for the Lord. You're looking for his appearing. Don't go back. Don't turn back. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. You know what that is? Some of you decided that you're going to work the field of ministry. Come on now. When they sent missionaries out on the field, they say, she's on the field working the ministry. He's on the field working the ministry. He's out preaching the gospel. Notice that when he sent them out, he said, take neither cloak and all these other things for you. Somebody say, don't return to get a thing. If you just set out for it, amen, when the end draws near, stay out there. I made my mind, I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm on the field for the Lord. I'm on the harvest field for God. I'm not going back to get anything. Don't turn around once you start it. Don't you dare turn around. What does all that mean? One going to be in the field. Don't turn around once you're on the field. He knew that all of us wouldn't be working in some field someplace. That means if you're on the field for the Lord, don't turn around and go back and get a thing. Woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck. Some of you got some things on the inside of you. The day is coming. You better not have it no baby when Jesus comes back. Woe unto you, amen. If Jesus comes back and we got a bunch of children in this place sucking on little thing when they need to be on to the meat of God, woe unto you. Amen. People that are raising little baby Christians that won't give them the real meat of the Word of God to where they can't handle anything, amen. Sucking on the breast, living off of everybody else. Somebody say, woe unto you. Amen. He's coming back for a church without spot nor wrinkle. He's not coming back for a bunch of little baby Christians everywhere sucking on little milk. Amen. He wants them to be able to digest God for themselves. There's a decision. He's speaking that to the church. There's a decision. You can teach the Word of God if you want to. But people choose to give people milk because they're afraid they're going to hurt somebody's feeling or somebody's going to get offended. The Bible already told us that people are going to get offended. Woe unto you, are you when you are with child. God's coming back. He wants some grown-up, mature saints. Doesn't that make more sense to you? And it says, pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath. Then God told us about that day of rest. He told us about that day of rest. There's coming a day where all you got to do is just sit back and rest and let the Holy Ghost do the rest. But some people going to be busy, and they're going to find out Jesus coming. Oh, my God, he's almost here. I better get busy about it. Let me hustle up and get what I should have got done all along. If you've been doing what God told you to do, when the Sabbath day comes, you're just going to rest and let the Holy Ghost take over. You're going to be able to enter into the rest of God. But there are a lot of people that aren't going to be able to enter into the rest of God because that'll be their flight. You know there's a seven-year rest? Think about that. Those that ain't got nothing to rest for, they ain't going. Their flight will be in that time. God's not going to pick up anybody that ain't doing nothing. But I believe those that are being raptured are those that are causing the devil harm. Because you can still be saved after the rapture. That'll just be your flight. You can take the second flight if you want to. The first flight is reserved. The only reason I believe that there's going to be a rapture is because God's got to get the church out of here. He's got to get those people out of here. How's the devil going to take over with some believing saint praying and interceding in the Holy Ghost? How are you going to be able to kill all these people when God's given? He said death will reign throughout the whole earth and all this other stuff, famine and disease and all stuff. And then God gives us the devil the power to go and raise the dead. How is he going to get that accomplished with you there without taking the Holy Ghost from us? But the Bible says, listen, I'll be with you always and forever. The devil won't be able to accomplish what he's supposed to accomplish in that time with people filled with the Holy Ghost. Sores and boils and all this other stuff. And he said, listen, I'll give you power to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. God going to get them people out of here so the devil can get done what he got to get done. Some say, pray. Man, by the time you figure this thing out and start to running, it won't be in the rest in that time of darkness. All right. For then shall be what? Such as was not since the beginning of the world, nor even ever shall be. Now notice that things were pretty bad with Noah's day and that God was going to kill them all. And it's now this, that means that this will super exceed what they were doing back in Noah's time, which made him want to repent from making the earth. I mean, it's going to be worse than that. And if God was ready to wipe everybody out then, he'll be able to do it this time. You know why? Because then he couldn't find a righteous man on the earth. He found one. At this point, and at this point in time, guess what? The church is raptured. Thing ain't nobody going to be doing the right thing. Oh, think about it, church. Except those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake. Somebody say the elect's sake. Those days shall be shortened. I believe the elect are the Jews. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is the Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that it were impossible they shall deceive even the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not for. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so also shall be the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will be the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be dark, and the moon shall not give her light, and the star shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and one end of the earth to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. Didn't we talk about that fig tree before? When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that the summer is nigh. So even as ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour no man knoweth, not even the angels of heaven, but only my Father. But as it was in the days of what? As it was in the days of what? So shall it be, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark.
and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, and the other what? Everybody say that real loud. So shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, and the other what? Amen. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, and the other what? Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the bridegroom of the house had known in which hour the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. If you knew what hour Jesus was coming, you wouldn't suffer the condition of his house to be broken up and raggedy. Why do you think two people are going to be left and two in the field and one taking the other one left? Because two of them were in the field, but they were working for two different lords. Two were at the mill, but one was working for one lord, and one was working for the other lord. Amen. One was living for one reason, the other was living for another, and that's how they got left. We just read the whole book of chapter 20, Matthew chapter 20. Watch therefore, for you know not hour which the Lord doth come. Therefore, be ye also what?
Ready.
Be ye also what?
Ready.
Be what?
Ready.
Oh, shout it out. Be ye also ready. For in such as an hour as you think not. Think not. You can know in your spirit. But in the time when your head's in control and the flesh is in control and you're thinking about everything else. Why aren't you thinking about the kingdom of God? Because you got your head on everything else. Head buried in the sand. Amen. By the time you pull your head up out of the ground, that curse. Amen. Jesus being come and gone. Which way did they go? Which way did they go? Try to put your head in the sand and hide. Who then is a faithful? Somebody say faithful. Now it's not enough just be faithful and wise. What? Faithful. Somebody, I mean, full of faith and full of servanthood. Whom his Lord hath made him ruler over his house to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that what? Blessed is what? Whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him waiting. Shall find him talking about him coming. Everybody look at your Bible real quick. This is a good verse. This is one of my favorite ones. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, didn't say if he comes, when he cometh, shall find him so what? Everybody say so doing. And not just doing anything. It's doing what God told you to do. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. If you want to be ruler over God's goods in heaven, you better be doing his business on the earth. Whatever you put your hand to is what you'll be working in the future. God, I want to be ruler of many things when I get to the kingdom of come. That's why I'm living this way. Amen. I'm living a lifestyle, amen, that will give me a brighter future in the latter end. Amen. We won't just die. We'll live forever. Amen. And I want to be ruler over all the Lord's goods. And I want you to be rulers in heavenly places. So get busy about the work of God. Get your head out of the ground and pushing corn and cradles and all that mess and get busy about Jesus. And make sure when he comes, he finds you not thinking about doing, but doing his work. I pray when he comes, I'm doing something for his kingdom, working on preaching the gospel or something, burning some CDs or something, telling somebody about the goodness of God or something. Let him find me doing. When he comes, he better find your program running and not on pause. That's how he knows who his servants are, by what they're doing. He knows a tree by the fruit it bears. Now, you know, there'll be Nations Church service after Jesus comes. We're going to leave a set of instructions. We'll leave a set of instructions. Y'all can still have church. We'll be back in 7 years. Verily I say unto him, he shall make him ruler over all his good. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, where? Where? See, that's what God's judging. Amen. So many people, listen, you got to say it in your heart. You might not say it out of your mouth, but if you say in your heart, if you got a mentality that says in your heart right now, amen, you're doing what you're doing. So where do you have to say this? In your heart, if that, what did it say? Evil servant. My God. Didn't say that one was running people down. Listen, he called the one evil. He said, if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord does what?
Delays
in his coming. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants. People that smite fellow servants and wear each other out, they say in their heart, Jesus ain't coming soon. We ought to live like Jesus died yesterday, rose today, and is coming tomorrow morning. and shall smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in that day when he looked not for him. Now is a great time for him to come. Surprise. Somebody say, surprise. You're on hidden camera. It's going to be a surprise party. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looked not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall do what? And appoint him his portion with the what? And there shall be what? He's going to leave them right where they are. But you're going to be ready.
Yes.
You're going to be ready to go on with God and to be blessed. You stand up right where you are. So say, I'm going to live this year in expectation of the coming of the Lord. Glory. Say, Jesus is coming. Say it again. Jesus is coming. I'm getting busy about the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, I'm about to get out of here. Hallelujah. So say, I'm packing up, getting ready to go. Hallelujah. I commission you by the power of the Holy Ghost to get busy about the will of God. Get busy about the work of God. Amen. Be ye anointed. God will bless you. Pull your head out of the sand. Amen. And open your eyes and look to heaven. Your redemption draweth nigh. The end of all evil things and of all is near. You have potential. You have potential. And right now, I just pray there be a release of the potential of God within you. May you reap in many fields in the name of Jesus. May you reap in many fields in the name of Jesus. I call forth your gifts. I call forth your anointings in the name of Jesus. Amen. That you would manifest the best of God. Amen. That the love of God would be on your heart and in your eyes and in your hands. That you would make a difference on the world. That you would live a life of purpose and not walking around in circles. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.